שלום לכם, תודה שאתם מצטרפים אלינו.
Hello and thanks for joining us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Dr. Lightman, hello everyone. Oren, and today we'd like to talk about a world with no money. The topic in and of itself sounds kind of delusional, but still on our discussion today, I like for us to let go and, you know, allow ourselves to think about these things from the most simple place and the extreme assumptions that economists do, financial experts. They're saying that it's possible that what we're familiar with to this day will suddenly disappear. It could happen in one way or another. These are things that I don't want to get into, but it's possible that we'll get up in the morning and find out that the banks, they collapsed, and the millions that I had in the bank, they're worthless. Money is gone. The concept of money is gone. It's less important to me, can it really happen? It's really less important, how will it happen? But together with you, I'd like to somehow understand, how can we act if suddenly something like that will happen? And in order to understand that, I want to break it down slice by slice, and I'm saying in advance, let's let go of all that we're familiar with and assume that this happened. First of all, why do you think that to begin with, people invented money? Because it's possible that they've invented money for a certain reason that will have to exist even if money tomorrow will collapse. Why did we invent money altogether? Dr. Lightman, kesef in Hebrew comes from the word kisuf, kisui, meaning the ability to cover, the ability to cover for all of my needs. And this depends on the measure to which I invest in society, in the world, in different things, for which I get this cover for. Were I to live by myself, I'd need no money. I'd, you know, accumulate food, furs, other stuff, have a storage, and live my life. And today I have people that live similarly on some deserted island or something. But because I live in a society, and from one day to the next, I have to provide for my different needs and who knows which, then I need some kind of cover for all of these needs, and therefore there's money. Meaning, something that is equivalent in everyone's eyes, that has a precise value of an equivalent, and then I want to have a cover for whatever I need, and I work for it. Oren, the need to cover for what I need will remain. It's a natural need, actually, right, Dr. Lightman? Yeah? Oren, so it will remain in the future, too. Dr. Lightman, of course. Oren, so even if we depict a hypothetical situation where maybe if tomorrow or in a year the entire economic system breaks down, still, and money's gone, still man's need for some kind of equivalent will remain to cover for all of his needs. Dr. Lightman, yes. Oren, and if money disappears, what will we have? Dr. Lightman, but I'm not talking about money in terms of, you know, the bills or coins, but a kind of cover for my desire to be able to cover for the needs for whatever my desire wants. This is what money is. Oh, and so up until now, since we have developed money, bills, coins, whatever you had in the bank, this is what promised that you will be able to do this. If tomorrow money, the monetary system collapses, money's gone, what will people use in order to cover for this inner basic need? Dr. Lightman, they'll have to invest, invent something. Oh, and like what? Dr. Lightman, I don't know. I think that all in all, we have a government, we have a country, we have the military, the police, the government, wise people that will have to determine and make it so that everyone, no matter, doesn't matter how things used to be, but that everyone from now on will have the ability to cover for their basic needs. You have an ID card. Oh, and I do. Dr. Lightman, so you can come to some big storage and, according to your ID, fill a cart with all your necessary groceries because you're a citizen, Olin, and this will cover for my basic need to provide for my basic needs instead of money. Dr. Lightman, yes. Olin, okay, so advancing to my next question. Hypothetically speaking, a world without money, is that possible? Dr. Lightman, of course, of course. But, society wants to demand of a person in return some kind of labor, some kind of work. Someone has to make all of these necessary things that each of us needs. Oh, and of course, Dr. Lightman, to fill your cart like in a supermarket. So who's going to do all of this? We are. So, we'll have to work, and maybe not all of us are genuine people. And so someone will have to write down, what did you do for society, and accordingly, it'll be written down, and accordingly, your needs will be covered. It's a kind of salary, only it's a salary that you don't get in bills, but that it's written down someplace. Oh, and that gives a person the ability to take whatever he needs in order to live his life. Dr. Lightman, or maybe an even more advanced society where we don't write anything down, but we only make sure that a person has this inner willingness to do whatever he wants for society. Oh, and it's a society that's more advanced morally, that a person became more moral, that he's honest, that he won't allow himself to, you know, avoid doing things for society. It's a high level. Dr. Lightman, what can you do? There are several more levels to advance to. Olin, okay, now after we in general said that a world without money is possible, that it can happen, now I want for you to help me to understand, if the concept of money disappears, how will we evaluate things today in order to know what is something's value? You ask, how much does it cost? It could be the efforts that you put into something. It could be a million different parameters at the end. It comes down. It's measured by its price. Value. If tomorrow there is no money, how will we measure the value of things? Dr. Lightman, the value of man or what he has to produce or what? Or in both, how will we measure the value of assets? Today I'm looking at a certain asset and I say it's worth this and that. I look at a certain worker, I say, okay, he's worth so and so. Anything around you today, if you open your eyes and look what's around you, the table, the car, the people that you're talking to, everything at the bottom line nowadays, we have no other standard to measure what is it worth. Even a person's mind, you know, I'll tell you, I have here someone who's brilliant. It's good for you to take him, for him to work in your organization. He'll push you forward. It's worth a lot. Could be in everything, in anything. Today we have no other standard but money. If money collapses tomorrow, how will we measure things? Dr. Lightman, with money? Olin, but suppose it's collapsed. The monetary system collapsed. Dr. Lightman, so you'll have to find some kind of equivalent. Oren, what could that be? Dr. Leitman, I think that it's going to be written down in different places, or in a central place, doesn't matter. What does a person do? What does he produce? What does he use for his family, for himself? And it'll be clear to us, to all of us, until we will reach such a state where a person himself will have the problem that he will, his problem will be how to keep himself from not receiving from society more than he needs. Oh, and why? Why will he do that, Dr. Leitman? Because he'll have a greater reward from giving than from receiving from society. Oh, and it's not measured by money? Dr. Leitman, no. It's measured by the recognition of the eternity of nature. Oh, and who pays this reward? Dr. Leitman, nature itself. Oh, and with what coin? Dr. Leitman, a feeling, with a feeling. Oh, and what will a person feel? Dr. Leitman, a person will feel that he belongs to that upper force that is nature and that it is worthwhile for him to do so. Oh, and why, Dr. Leitman? Because by that he acquires eternity, the eternity, wholeness, and perfection that exists in nature. Today, if you want to buy a car, you're told, look, it's good for you to buy a car from a private person and not some from rental or some company, because even if that car served a driver that took it for leasing from his company, he didn't, you know, really take care of that car because it wasn't his. I just gave this as an example because this is related to everything, actually. In our mind, we have this concept that if something's not mine, I can at least keep it, care for it. Here, you're describing the opposite situation. Dr. Leitman, of course, because public property, in my eyes, is worth much more than my private property. Because for the sake of, or in return for public property, I can get a much greater reward. Feeling of the innerness of nature. I come to public property knowing that by it I can ascend and feeling wholeness, perfection, eternity, the innerness of nature that I'm living in. In a way that, how will that, you know, help me? Leasing or not leasing, that's a completely different calculation. Owen, with what coins is it by how, Dr. Leitman, lights and vessels, I don't know how to put it, that I start feeling that I belong to the global eternal nature and that I am a part of it. Olin, to this day, a person worked in some place. His boss paid him. Here we depicted a world where the concept of money disappears. No problem. Still, two main things will have to exist between the individual and society. Society will have to allow a person to come somewhere and take whatever he needs for himself and the family. On the other hand, an individual will have to contribute his share to the collective. Suddenly, there's a third factor that you call nature. And you say that it pays with different kinds of coins. It pays me with a feeling. You said you will feel. Allow me to understand, what is this feeling and what can I do with it? When I have money in my pocket, I know what I can buy for it. What are the coins of nature? What does it pay by? What can I do with the coins of this feeling? Dr. Leitman, we're not talking about necessary things like food that's, you know, a basic need, or place to live, all your basic needs for the family, you know, the normal thing that a person needs. We're not talking about that. We're talking about things that a person has, like in a kibbutz, for example. And the thing is that a person's asking, where am I living? What am I living for? Why? And what will I be paid for my life? How can I reach the feeling of the innerness of nature, the wholeness and perfection that exists in nature? How can I feel myself existing in the whole, complete, and eternal nature? And here there is an opening to come out of the limited world, a world that starts and ends only with his life, because he lives the life of a beast. He's like an animal. And from that, to live to a degree where a person lives the life of his soul. And that all depends on the measure to which a person prefers the social system over his personal own one. Oh, and this wondrous mechanism you've just described, this is actually what promises that even if the concept of money collapses, still people will keep functioning because they will be paid beyond what you said, that they'll have their basic needs, they'll have like this bonus. Dr. Leitman, they don't need money at all. They don't. Because if I get what I need, to have what I need in my fridge, and something to wear, and a bed to sleep in, everything else, I will want to work to the benefit of society, because for that, I get from nature a feeling of wholeness and perfection. I feel myself existing in a limitless world. Owen, this payment that nature gives you, what does it depend on that you'll be paid by nature? Something and I'll be paid less or more. How does nature measure who to pay what? Dr. Leitman, hard for me to say because it depends on your root, on your soul, on your efforts, on the measure to which you have received forces from nature, your forces. And I got forces from my nature. Accordingly, I'm demanding one kind of exertion and you're demanded a different kind. Owen, what about how a person feels? Today you look at someone. How do you measure him? You measure how much is he worth. If money collapses, how will a person measure himself? How will people measure other people? By what standard? Dr. Leighton, they won't exactly be able to measure. Oh, and why, Dr. Leighton? Because no one knows the soul of the other. Oh, and how's that related? Dr. Leighton, a soul is the inner efforts that a person makes for the benefit of society, because no one can really measure what efforts it costs him, what kind of obstacles does he have to overcome. Oh, and that's amazing. Can you explain? Dr. Leitman, I was born weak. You were born strong. I have little powers to deal with this life, and you, to the contrary, you're smarter, and so on and so forth. No one's like M. No one person is like another. How can we measure the efforts of the soul of a person, his inner efforts? It's impossible. Also, people change from one day to the next. Yesterday, I was healthy, whole, and uplifted spirits. Today, for some reason, I am in the pits. Who could say how much strength did I have yesterday to invest in something, and how much do I have today? But as if I have to be paid for my investment. Yesterday, when I was weak, I invested much more than for the same work, than what I invested for the same work today, because I was healthier, happier. And then there's no one that can measure these things. Oh, and so how will nature pay me? Dr. Leitman, nature knows, because I am a part of the system of nature, so I have no problem. I know that I'm in the same system, and I will get exactly according to a precise and just calculation. Oh, and today, a person who's smart can make tons of money. Whether he opens up a startup or he'll be, doesn't matter. Wherever he goes, he'll make lots of money because he has a sharp mind. So it turns out that nature, sorry for the expression, but screwed part of the people. If my neighbor's, if I'm smarter than my neighbor and I'll make much more money than he does, in a world where the concept of money collapses, you said, there are two levels. On the basic level, every person has his basic needs have to be met, like in a kibbutz. I understand. On the other hand, he has to contribute to society as much as he can. Okay. But nature, who will it pay more to the more successful because he has, in advance, better parameters? Dr. Leitman, to the one that relatively invests more. That's it? So if you're smart, but you're not investing like I do, that who's less smart than you are, then even if I did lesser work than you did, but I invested much more forces and efforts, and so I deserve more. Dr. Olin, so it's possible that there's a person that, he seems like, really unsuccessful. But he has a tremendous soul, and nature will pay him greatly, and no one will know, no one will feel, and you can't really see him contributing to society. He's not a big scientist, doctor, Dr. Leitman. True, we don't know this, especially that it has to do with previous incarnations and future to come incarnations. Who knows altogether what is his role in this chain where he passes through in his connection with other souls, to the measure to which he influences them, they influence him. Oh, and so we can't really measure each other, Dr. Leitman, we can't. Here, the calculation is only with the heavens. Owen, I want to ask about nature's coin, what we call the coin of nature. You said, it will be a feeling. Nature will pay you with feeling. You'll feel it in your soul. You'll connect to the wholeness, perfection, and eternity of nature. These things, today, whoever has lots of money, what is that actually? It gives him a status in society because everyone appreciates him. It gives him the ability to buy things. It covers for all of his needs, his children's needs, and so on. These coins by which nature will pay people, the coins of the soul, let's call them, what will it give me? What will I be able to cover with them? Dr. Leitman, for everything, it's an eternal coin. God forbid, who knows what's going to happen with your children, grandchildren the next day, and how will coins help you? Today, they exist. Tomorrow, they don't. And here, you're really with a bank account, which isn't in the Bank of America, but it's the bank. Owen, why is it eternal? Why can't this account collapse? Dr. Leitman, because it's nature in and of itself. It's nature itself. You're in the round system of nature. This is where you act. This is where you're registered. This is where you get a response from. It's all there in that one place, and there is no other place. Owen, if, like in a kibbutz, I lived in a kibbutz, so I'm familiar with all the collective different forms of society. In the kibbutz that I lived in, for example, there were good people, really. their children mostly left the kibbutz. Their grandchildren, totally, they left the place. By the way, gossip. So much gossip, you can die only from listening to the gossip that goes around there. And, you know, so many things changed there, but one thing is that it didn't work. Let's face it, with all the good desire of our grandparents who built it by their own efforts, it didn't work. All kibbutzes are ceasing to be kibbutzes. Why would it work? There's nature that's like this big brother that supervises everything, and you can't be a slacker, Dr. Leitman. This is exactly the difference, that here you have an upper boss that takes care of everything, and everything is in his hands. He keeps everything, your life and death, your children, your family, to cover for your livelihood, for everything. Everything is in his hands in one box. And you're his servant. But you can cease to be a slave and become a master because you determine this by the integrity of your heart. Olin, on the one hand, it gives a feeling that it is impossible to lie. On the other hand, it gives a kind of strong confidence that it doesn't matter who you are, Dr. Leitman. It's all in your hands. If we open the system to ourselves, that's great. Heaven. That's called heaven. Olin, Dr. Leitman, thank you very much for everything. Dr. Leitman, good luck. Olin, thanks for being with us. Till next time, all the best.